Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Environmental issues are front and center in Raleigh these days, with a controversial meeting about offshore drilling, new fracking rules, and the ongoing debate about what to do about leaking coal ash ponds. Here to talk about it and to bring us up to date on the state's successful expansion of solar energy is Representative Pricey Harrison from Greensboro. Well, Pricey, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me.
Well, let's jump in. A lot to talk about in the environmental world and in the legislature in general. There was recently a meeting in Raleigh of state and federal officials about offshore drilling, but it was a closed meeting.
Yes.
What were your thoughts about that and then in general the whole offshore drilling issue?
Well, it was kind of a scoping meeting, I guess. It was meant to let the stakeholders know what the lay of the land is in terms of getting offshore drilling off to a start off the North Carolina coast, or actually the Mid-Atlantic area. Diener had invited the federal officials and a bunch of industry folks, but nobody from the environmental community, which I thought was a real missing piece of that discussion. It was problematic because it was just all about the pros of offshore drilling, but none of the sort of negative aspects of it, which I thought was, you know, left it to be sort of not a very good comprehensive meeting. They pushed that we had, something like 10 trillion cubic feet of natural gas offshore and bunch of oil off near the point, which is one of the most biologically diverse areas in the whole world, right off the point off of Hatteras, like 45 miles off of Hatteras. So I think there are a lot of folks who have concern. There are a lot of folks who live on the coast. There are a lot of industries that need a clean coast to thrive, including fishing and tourism. And so I think those folks want to have a say in this debate. I don't know that in general we need to be pursuing more fossil fuels at all, because we face a carbon-constrained future. The president announced last night a new plan with China on carbon emissions, and I think that's the route we need to be going, not more fossil fuels.
On that line of thought, let's talk about some good news before we talk about some other troubling things. Solar energy in North Carolina, a non-fossil fuel, seems to be doing quite well.
It's terrific. It's partly related to the policies the legislature adopted back in 2000, actually about the past 5 years. Those have been very effective for jump-starting a solar energy economy here in North Carolina. We're like one of the top in the country, and it's been terrific to watch because we virtually had no industry in 2007. We adopted the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard, and now we really are in the top five in terms of installed capacity, in terms of solar job growth, and it's just been great to watch.
And yet there are still people calling to repeal the Renewable Energy Portfolio.
Right. That's very frustrating. It was amazing that we were able to beat that back, but we had a really good coalition, bipartisan coalition, and a strong voice from the business community that had benefited by the REPS. It's basically costing like a penny a month on the power bill. And you start to think about the subsidies for like paying for coal ash cleanup or something like that, where we're talking $20 to $30 a month. A penny a month doesn't seem much to help subsidize an industry that's really cleaned up our environment and created good homegrown jobs.
What else should policymakers be doing in terms of solar energy? What's next?
Well, I think that a lot of people have been talking about third-party sales. So if you put solar panel on your roof, that you can sell it, that somebody else can either install it and sell that energy for you, or else you sell it to this third party. And I think that's something that the utilities have been opposed to. So the legislature has not been interested in. But that's, I think a lot of folks think that's what we need to really get solar going more. It's sort of a utility scale here in North Carolina.
Where's the technology in solar? I guess for a long time, the battery storage and a lot of other things were the big stumbling block because it was so expensive. Have we almost gotten to the point where, or are we at that point?
Well, I think that's what folks think. I think folks think that we have a very generous state tax credit. Not very many states have a tax credit, but I think the industry feels like at this point we've grown to a level where we actually don't need the tax credit anymore. But I think that the technology has improved significantly over the past couple of decades, and it's just getting better. So we have some major solar players in North Carolina now.
You mentioned coal ash a moment ago. Let's talk about where we are with that. The Diener regulators rejected Duke's plans to test groundwater at the coal ash sites and told the company to try again. Is that good news?
I think so. I'm glad to see Diener stepping up to the plate and actually enforcing our clean water standards. And also the Coal Ash Commission is going to have its inaugural meeting on, I think it's Friday. So we'll see how that plays out, because they got a couple of charges on in terms of the closing plans at least. So we've got the bill that was passed, which I was glad we made progress, but I thought it seemed to be very Duke friendly. And it allowed for the capping in place of 10 of the 14 plants. And so I think a lot of folks had problems with that. And the Coal Ash Commission is supposed to come up with that closing plan. I'm cautiously optimistic that they'll come up with a good plan that will continue to protect our resources and the public health.
People understand the devastation of the spill, but I'm always amazed when I talk to people about it to tell them that all the ash ponds are leaking. It's just a matter of degrees. And that
right.
I think a lot of people don't even know that basic fact.
Right. Well, I mean, I've been beating this drum for like 8 years, and it is amazing because this stuff is very toxic. It's carcinogenic and neurotoxicant, and it's problematic. And they've been recorded this, as you said, at all 33 ponds, at all 14 sites, and it's some of it's worse than others. I mean, the plant near Charlotte is poisoning the Charlotte's water supply, which ought to be a concern to the folks who live in that area.
And should Duke have to pay for the cost of cleaning all these up?
That's been my position. I think that's sort of been an irresponsible way to store this toxic coal ash. And I think the fact that it's actually been contaminating the groundwater and adjacent surface waters, I think the onus would be on them to pay for the cleanup. And I think a lot of folks out in North Carolina agree with me. I think when Duke presented the potential cost of cleanup, they said it could be as much as $10 billion. And if you translate that to a power bill, it works out to $20 to $30 a month for every North Carolina power bill, which is a lot of money for a lot of people.
One of the other things that's come out of this coal ash debate, disaster and debate, is there are a lot of people trying to find more industrial uses for coal ash, but I hear mixed reviews about that idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that all of us would love to be able to find a way to recycle that, because I don't think we have the storage capacity for all those hundreds of thousands of tons of coal ash. And I think that there is some skepticism about whether the toxins remain inert. Definitely not when the product gets wet, so that's why we're having the problem with the drywall. And there's some who even feel like cement might not be a good option. But right now we're like using it in road beds and using it at a construction site and unlined pits just to level the land, and that's not a good thing. So I think that actually the Coal Ash Commission is charged with looking at the beneficial use and seeing, I guess, if they do a comprehensive scientific analysis, we'll know whether it is something that's feasible or not.
And I guess the obvious other question is, why are we producing so much coal ash?
Well, right, there's that. We could stop using coal. And actually, Duke, to its credit, has converted to seven of its plants to natural gas. And the trade-off there is you've got maybe increased fracking, but that is, it's a cleaner. It's not clean, it's cleaner. So we're transitioning that way.
Let's move to fracking. You just mentioned it. Another huge environmental issue that's out there. The General Assembly sped up the process. The Mining and Energy Commission is going to be coming up with fracking rules. What's your feeling now about where we are in the whole fracking game?
I'm very disappointed at the process. I think we broke our promise to the people. We said that we would give it a good hard look before we lifted the moratorium, and then we broke that promise this summer, rushed through a bill that had inadequate protections, charged a fracking commission with drafting these rules, but we constrained them in terms of what they could actually do. So like the chemical disclosure issue, and there's some other issues that we prevented them from dealing with, but also we didn't really charge them with a harder look at some of the issues like air quality and buffers. I'm a little bit nervous that this fairly industry-dominated commission is not going to draft up the safest package of rules, and I think there are a lot of people who feel that way who've been watching the process more closely than I.
And what happens for people listening? Okay, well, the rules come out, then what's the next step? What happens?
I think that the proponents of fracking have been anticipating they'll be issuing permits as early as June for folks to start drilling. And we have some test wells out there. They're continuing to test areas like near Boone. And, it's all over the state. It's not just Lee County and Chatham County, but there's Rockingham County, and then there's Stokes County, and then there's out in Watauga County. So I think folks are appropriately nervous about this because we actually don't have adequate resources, the inshore resources, the offshore resources that folks are really interested in. But the inshore, they're inadequate and they're shallow and they're near our drinking water aquifers. And there's all kinds of problems that would ensue if we started to do this like they're doing it in Pennsylvania.
Finally, before I let you go, the General Assembly session is just around the corner. There's during this last election, there was a million things to talk about in another interview maybe, but one of the things I was struck by, I still hear a lot of candidates, majority, saying we have too many regulations, we need to keep cutting regulations and streamlining the process, and it's too hard to do things, which doesn't seem to bode well for the protection of our air and land and water.
It's hard for me to believe that there's any more rollbacks and weakenings that they can undertake because they have done that in such a significant way in terms of, and it's starting with cutting Diener's budget by massive amounts, but then hamstringing the agency, but then rolling back air quality and groundwater protections. It's just, I can't believe there's anything else they can do weakening wetlands protections, but I do hear that, and I'm hearing it at the federal level, too. So whereas we've got the EPA as sort of our safeguard, but it looks like they won't even be there to protect us if the new Senate majority had their way. So I'm a little bit nervous about what this upcoming session means for environmental protection. But I do think the public spoke, because a lot of folks lost their seats because of the inadequate environmental protection. So I think that was a good sign and sort of a first for North Carolina election results.
Let's hope the legislators are listening. Thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thanks very much.
Up next, North Carolina's looming teacher shortage and what we can do about it. Stay with us.